You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.
Good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. We're down to the third installment of our current series called All That Matters. My name is Tom and I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And just a quick recap or a context of what we're talking about. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been going through this series as we talk about what the Bible has to say about faith and finances. And if you're wondering, why do we take time to talk about faith and finances? What does the Bible have a lot to say about faith and finances? That is because money is more than just an economic matter. Money is a spiritual matter. We cannot separate our handling of our finances, our wealth, our possessions with our walk with God, with our spiritual life. It goes together. And that is why the Bible has a lot to say about faith and finances. In fact, many verses in the Bible speaks a lot about money in its different forms. Now, last week, just a quick recap, we talked about Jesus on tithing. We talked about the importance of tithing, why we need to tithe, what is the tithe. And basically, last week, we came to the conclusion or we came to understand that tithing is giving back to God the first tenth of our income. We give back to God, meaning it's His. We give back to God the first 10% of our income. That is tithing. That's the bare starting point. That's what tithing is. Now, this week, we're going to talk about Jesus on sacrificial giving naman. After tithing, what else is there? We're going to continue with that. What else did God ask us to do? And that is sacrificial giving. And we're going to learn what that means. Now, so you have your Bibles with you. Can you turn them to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44? Verse 41 says there, as he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into that offering box, many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Verse 44, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Just some context of what we're reading. Basically, again, this is Jesus, and this time together with his disciples as well. And they were in a place called the temple. Sometimes it's called Herod's temple or just the Jewish temple. But basically, it was a temple. This was the most holy place for the Jewish people, the Israelites. And on this place, Jesus was teaching and answering questions from different people, from ordinary people to Pharisees and Sadducees and many other people. He was basically doing ministry in the temple. And the story we have here is that after he answered or taught many things to different people, in verse 41 says here, and he, Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. So in the temple kasi, there is a part there where people would give their offerings. Again, the temple is where people would go to worship God, to offer their sacrifices, to give their tithes, and of course, their offering. And there's a specific area where common people or ordinary people could do so, could give their offering. And this is what Jesus did, him and his disciples. They were looking intently at the treasury or at the offering boxes, at people giving their offerings. He was observing them. And he was about to use this to teach something important to his disciples as well when it comes to giving. The whole point of this story is for us to understand or grasp the right attitude or the right perspective when it comes to giving. Because yes, we may want to give or we may be giving, but perhaps we're not doing it right. Perhaps we're doing it with the wrong motive, with the wrong perspective, or with the wrong attitude. And that's why we're having this story to remind or teach to us. Now, in the temple, there is what we call the 13 trumpets or simply offering boxes. They're called trumpets simply because of their shape. Para siyang trumpet kung ibaliktad nimo. It's narrow at the top, then it widens at the bottom. And it's used to collect different things. Trumpets 1 and 2 were used to collect taxes. 3 to 7 were used to buy temple offerings. Basically, mga animals used to be sacrifices. Mga birds, pigeons, wood, incense, all sorts of things that the Jewish people would need to sacrifice or to make a burnt offering to God. Third, trumpets 8 to 12 naman were used for sin offering, for guilt offering, and for many other offerings. Basically, ang Jewish people, daghan silang klaseng offering. There are many things that were required of them by the Jewish law. And trumpet 13, it was voluntary contributions, mga offering, voluntary things that people would give. This was all in the temple, and Jesus was looking intently at these people. Now, while it was happening in the busyness of the temple and people putting in large sums of money, as Jesus observed, in comes this person. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. Out of all the business in the temple, this poor old widow came and dropped two copper coins. Ginagmera ang ibutang niya. Ang ubang dagan, pinasako, pinapouch. There was no paper money at that time. So if you would walk and dalan-dalan mo, 1,000 pesos, 1,000 pesos na coins dalan mo. Can you imagine how heavy that is sa pocket ninyo? That's what they did. But this old woman, this widow, simply gave two copper coins. Now, for us, ordinarily, when we see that, we just ignore that probably. Parang, okay, nai-buy, natag og two small coins. We don't say wow to that. If someone were to drop their whole stack of coins, wow, grabe, dako kasiyang gihatag. And yet, interestingly, it is this action, it is this widow that Jesus commends. It doesn't say much about the other people who give large sums of money as offerings, but to this widow, Jesus said, he called his disciples to him, Peter, halimodre, Philip, mga bro, halimodre, paminaw mo, truly I say to you, this poor widow was put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. Wait, pause muna. Okay, if you were a disciple siguro of Jesus, what? Jesus? Nagubay yung mata, Jesus? Nagmath ka, Jesus? Kablo ka muad, Jesus? When was the widow's offering more valuable, or why was it called to be greater? Why did Jesus say she has put more in the offering compared to all the other people who gave large sums of money? Why is it that Jesus commends this widow? Compare ko nimo, duha ka copper coins. Have you ever opened your wallet one time and all you see are 10 centavos, 25 centavos, puro na lang sensilyo? That's what this old lady was doing. She was giving, siguro, chump change, gamay na lang, compared to the other people who were giving large sums of money. And yet, she was commended because of what she did. Now, let's try to get a context of really how much this widow gave. Firstly, let's come to understand the kind of coins mentioned in the New Testament. The New Testament mentions different kinds of coins for different purposes. There's the drachma, a silver coin, the didrachma, a silver coin used for a specific purpose in the temple or worship to God, the Tyrian shekel, the denarius, which is the basic minimum wage that their people would get. Kung ang minimum wage na to, let's say example lang daw, let's say 300 per day, they would get one denarius. That's their minimum wage. And then there was the lepton, which is the kind of coin used by the woman or the poor widow. Now, lepton, or the plural lepta, two lepta was worth about 1/64 of a denarius. That's 0.0 whatever percent of a denarius. Can you imagine that? Gamay kay siya worth 1/64 of a denarius. In other words, if your minimum wage per day was like 300 pesos, the equivalent of that is basically around 5 pesos. This woman's offering, if we would roughly convert it today, was about 5 pesos lang. Now, how much can your 5 pesos get you? Diba, machichiria, load, I don't know, gamit nimo 5 pesos. But this is the worth of the amount, monetarily, that the poor widow gave as an offering, which Jesus commended. And again, that begs the question, why was the widow's offering more valuable? Or did Jesus just mess up his whole math here? Now, some of us, or perhaps you've heard of people, might say, God does not look at the amount. He looks at the heart. Siguro mura na siya. Bahala ng amount. Siguro mas kind ang old woman. Siguro selfish to mga tao and what. We can say that, but if you look at the Bible, you would come to see that God is very particular when it comes to the amount. Last week, we had a whole installment about tithing, which is about the tenth of our income, and God was very specific to that. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 says, you shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. In other words, for God, the amount matters. The amount matters to God. We can't say it doesn't matter amount, basta kay mo give ka ni God. Okay na. No, the amount matters to God. That's why He says we are to give a tenth of what we have for our tithes. Now, if the amount matters, then why is it that the greater large sums of money is not more than the two copper coins ginahatag sa poor widow? This simply means that when we say the amount matters to God, it's not in the usual sense that we're used to. So let's take a look at the story again, and let's look at the two groups of people and how they gave. First was the rich people. This is Mark 12, verse 44. Jesus says, they all contributed out of their abundance. Jesus compares the two groups, the people who gave large sums of money and the poor widow. And he says, for the first group, they gave out of their abundance. The rich gave out of their surplus. Now again, before I continue with this sermon, this is not an anti-rich preaching. By all means, believe to be prosperous. Believe for God to be abundant, that He will financially provide and He will bless you with much. This is not that. This is a specific situation. There's a specific situation happening for this group of people that Jesus is trying to teach to us. Continuing, says here, the rich gave out of their surplus. That's very important because when you have much, it's much easier for you to give. For example, let's say nag-dinner ka, muli pagkaunin mo, but ako kanya pizza, mas dako pa stable siguro. If you had friends who would come over and this was your dinner, hey bro, usi pagkaunin mo diha. For sure, you wouldn't mind sharing if your food was this much. When we have much, it's much easier for us to give. If we are abundant with supplies, with what we had, if we are prosperous, it's easier for us to give things away. Have you ever been to a party, wedding, birthday? Pagdaming sobrang pagkaano sa buhaton? Ipa-bring house, ipang give away, ipahatag, masayang. Kananan ninyo, we want to give it away because it's abundant, there's so much. And that's what's happening here. The rich were giving out of their surplus. What is giving 1,000 if, let's say, you're earning $1 million a month? What is giving 1,000 if you're giving 10 million a month? The rich were giving something that they could easily part with. That was their situation. The other thing is that the rich gave to be noticed. Not everyone, but there was a practice in their time, in their culture, that when they would give, they would want the appreciation of people. Matthew 6, verse 2 says, this is Jesus talking, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. That there are actually people that when they give to the needy or when they give their offerings, may trumpet na ready. Hey guys, lantawa ninyo, grabe siya mo hatag o give. Hey, grabe siya, 10 million yung gidonate, grabe siya mo hatag sa poor people. They actually want people to notice them, be radical in their giving. And that was one reason why they would give. They looked obedient to God and His commands, externally speaking, but inward, deep down, they weren't doing so out of a sense of devotion to God, but because they were seeking recognition. Now you see, God isn't after our money, but He is after our hearts. What matters to God, yes, the amount matters, but much more mag-matter ni God is our hearts. Do we have the right motive or the right perspective and attitude when we're giving things? When we're giving our tithes and offering? Are we giving it under compulsion? Because my Victory Group leader told me, mag-give na daw ko. Hadlo ko sa Victory Group leader. Are we giving because everyone else is giving? When you came to the service, naghatag sila giving. Matag na po ko. Okay, ma-OP ko. Or are we cheerfully and willingly giving our tithes and offering? And may we do so not like the hypocrites who give so that people would praise them. Now going to the poor widow says here, if the rest gave out of their abundance, she naman, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had. Whereas some people gave out of their abundance, this poor widow gave out of her poverty. And you know what poverty is, right? I mean, poor. Right? This widow had almost nothing. And yet, out of that, she gave. Her 2 copper coins were probably the last money she had. In fact, it was the last money she had. It says here, all she had to live on. It was all that she had to go on. Imagine your last money. Let's say, 100 na lang kwarta na bilhin nimo. Diba? We would be so tight-fisted with that. Kung before, magpalikap na, wherever we go, balag duol ra, kainit. Kung gamay na lang kwarta, lakpo na to. Diba? Balag, liplaza to rob na, lakpo na to. Kaya kung tight na kayong budget. But this poor widow, all that she had to live on, out of her poverty, she willingly gave it. Now for us to grasp how poor this person is, how hard it is for her to get money, widowhood presents a very difficult time in a woman's life, in their time and in their culture. Nowadays, if you're a widow, if your husband dies, as long as you have a job, it's okay. You can still support yourself. I'm not saying it's okay. It's sad. But you can still live. But in their time, in their culture, widows did not have the right to inherit anything from their husband if she remains a widow. In other words, if you're a wife, your husband dies, you become a widow, if you don't get married again, you will lose all the estate's possession of your husband. It won't go to you. Dili kang maka-inherit. Dili kang makuha ang mana. Someone else will. Because again, they didn't have rights to that. In fact, by Jewish law, they had to marry either the brother of the husband or the next male relative to the husband. And then they can get the possessions again so that makip sa family ang possessions. In other words, if she didn't get married again, she would lose everything. In other words, this poor widow gave sacrificially. She gave sacrificially because she was giving something that would dearly cost her. You see, sacrifice, if you look up the dictionary, means the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get or to do something else or to help someone. Short version, sacrificial giving is parting with what we'd rather keep. Sacrificial giving is giving away something that you would want to keep, something that would really cost you, something that's really important to you. For this woman, it was really important to her because it was all she had to keep on living. And again, when there is few left or there's only one thing left, we're more hesitant to give it away compared to in abundance. And yet this poor widow gave it away. Though the rich people gave more than 10%, they gave huge sums of money for their offering, the poor widow gave her 100%. Monetarily, yeah, it's nothing compared to what the other people gave. But for her, she gave her 100%. She gave all that she had. And that's sacrificial giving right there. Now again, I'm not saying after this, you give everything that you have. You call your mom, ma, hatag na tanang kwarta diya, ma, withdraw na tanan, ato nang ihatag. That's not the point. This happened specifically for her. She was doing this for a reason. We're going to get to that in a while. But Derek Prince says, bear in mind that when God measures what you give, He looks at what you retain for yourself. Yes, the amount matters to God. What we give matters. But what we also keep to ourselves also matters. God looks at that as well. How much are you willing to give and how much are you willing to keep to yourself? You see, the value of a gift is determined by what it costs the giver. How much did it cost you? That's how valuable it is. Kung ipunitan nimo ang gift, ang yatang nimo, it doesn't really cost much. How much does it cost the giver? The poor widow didn't just give sacrificially. It was probably painful for her to give up her last money. But she also gave faithfully. She gave sacrificially, but she also gave faithfully. She had the right motive and intention to give. It says here, it was all that she had to live on. Basically, when she gave her last 2 coins, she was demonstrating her faith in God to supply her needs. She was basically demonstrating, Lord, this is all that I have. 2 copper coins, 2 lepta, Lord. Not even enough to buy a pigeon as an offering. Lord, walang ninanakaw, this is how poor I am. But Lord, though this is all that I have, I'm going to give everything that I have to you. In a sense, as she did that, she's telling God, Lord, I trust you that you're going to supply. You're going to provide. You're going to be faithful and provide for my needs, Lord. Wala ko kabalo asa ko mukha na after this. And true enough, you know, this person probably didn't know where she was going to get her next meal. She probably wouldn't be able to get that much money again easily. But she did so nonetheless. She still gave out her last money as an offering to God, sacrificially and faithfully, demonstrating how much she trusts God. The widow's gift dislodges the excuse that we'll give when we get enough money. You know what this story teaches us? One thing, that we don't have to wait until we have so much before we can choose to give. Perhaps for some of us here, we're thinking, amwata ko kwarta pag milyonaryo na ko. Pag akong ngalan na nas billboards, ja, muhatag na ko. If I'm earning 5 digits, 6 digits, then I'll choose to give. Then I'll give my tithes and my offering. Then I'll be generous to people. Until then, it's all mine. But what we've learned from this story is that we don't have to wait until we're millionaires, until we're rich for us to give. This poor widow was able to give out of poverty. Out of seemingly nothing, she was able to give and still demonstrate a right and true spirit of generosity. You're still able to give. Matthew 6:31, verse 33. This is a great encouragement for us. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear? lot of times we worry about those things. Lord, asa kumukaon? Lord, asa kumukwag pangkaon? Asa kumukwag pangsanihina, pangpuyo, pangbayad sa rent, pangbayad sa bills? God knows we all have those needs. And true enough, I'm not downplaying those needs. Those are serious needs. Those are important needs. But the Bible says here, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows that we need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We don't need to worry about what shall we eat and where, all those other things. But when we seek God first and His kingdom, when we choose to give, when we choose not to lay up earthly treasures for ourselves, God will add all these things to us. God will provide to us. He will meet our needs. We should give faithfully no matter what our circumstances may be. Sometimes we feel like, I'll give faithfully pag okay lang. Okay lang sweldo, okay na tanan, no problems, no lack whatsoever, then I'll give. But even in the midst of lack, even in the midst of storms, problems, we ought to give faithfully as well. This woman, this poor widow, gave faithfully in the lowest point of her life. She gave when all she had were just 2 coins. And she still chose to give faithfully. You see, God doesn't just look at how much we give. He also looks at how we give. Our hearts. How we give it. God looks at that. Dr. Larry Burkett says, a person's giving is an outward indicator of the inward spiritual condition. One important reason why we need to look into this story, why Jesus is trying to tell His disciples or teach His disciples about the right attitudes, the right perspectives when it comes to giving, is because our giving is an indicator of our spiritual condition. How we are on the inside. How we are spiritually. Our giving is like an indicator. Para sang signal kung pang-determine siya kung kumusta ta deep down inside. If we are willing to give, if we are cheerfully giving, honoring God with our wealth, with our finances, we're okay inwardly. But if we're unwilling to give, or we give it with the wrong motives, wrong perspective, wrong attitudes, then there's something wrong in our inward spiritual condition. Our giving actually is one way to assess ourselves, church. How are we, spiritually speaking? Kumusta ta? Kumusta ta kang God? Are we okay or are we not? Look into your giving. Are we a people who's willing to give? Couple of things before I'm about to end. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 says here, the point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We give much, we reap much. We sow little, we will reap little. It's as simple as that. But it continues in verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we talk about sacrificial giving, the right attitude, the right heart is to have that cheerful mindset, to be a cheerful giver. To be willing to give to God and give our tithes and offering to God and say, Lord, I want to give this to you. Or Lord, I want to give this. Now for us here today, you might ask, how can I be that cheerful giver? Perhaps you're assessing your giving or how you've given the past few weeks or months. You're saying, di ba ko grabe ka cheerful? Or unsaon ba? How do I become that cheerful giver? How do I learn to embrace sacrificial giving and giving faithfully, consistently? How do you embrace the spiritual discipline of giving, of being generous, without being stingy and tight-fisted with our money and be unwilling to give and being a lover of money? How do we do so? Not the best way for us to learn how to give is to look into the best example of giving there is. And that is God giving His one and only Son, Jesus. We did communion a while ago. We remind ourselves what Jesus did for us on the cross. And this is what He did. He died for us on the cross. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. God gave. God generously gave, willingly gave His one and only Son. You know how hard it is to give if you only have one of that thing? if you only have one of something special, it's so hard to give it away. Let alone to give it away to be crucified, to die. But God willingly gave His one and only Son for us. He gave His best for us. He didn't withhold it from us. He didn't say, at di ko gan mo share ni ninyo. I'm not gonna give this, bahala mo. No, He gave His one and only Son for us to die on the cross. That whoever would believe in Him will not perish, would have eternal life, would have a new life, be forgiven of their sins. All of the benefits and blessings that come from Jesus dying on the cross is a result of God giving, sending His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. In other words, for us, church, if we want to be givers, cheerful givers, you want to learn how to do so, look no further than the ultimate act of giving there is. Jesus coming to this earth, dying on our place, on the cross. And we are recipients of that. And that speaks a lot, that it puts into perspective that the God that we worship, that the God that we give our tithes and offering to, is not a selfish God. It's not a greedy God. But it's a God who gave out His best for us. A God that we can never outgive. We can never say to God, Lord, I've given my millions to You, Lord. And God will say, I gave my Son to You, but you may be saved. There's nothing we'll ever do to outgive God. Think about that. The God that we worship deserves our best. Deserves the giving of our tithes and offering. Deserves our sacrificial giving. Yes, it's gonna cost us. It's gonna hurt to lose that kind of monetary amount. But you're giving it to God. We're giving it to someone who gave something so amazing that we reap the benefit. As I end this, as we end this installment about sacrificial giving, I just want to remind us, church, that sacrificial giving, yes, it hurts. It will cost us. But at the end of the day, we're giving it to the one person whom we can never outgive. And that is God. Let's pray.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytomaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.